The following message is copyrighted by Westminster Theological Seminary. Duplication, distribution, or other use of all or any part of this message is not permitted without prior written consent. Please direct your inquiries to communications@wts.edu. For all other information, please visit the main website at www.wts.edu.
My subject this afternoon is, where are we heading? Who are we? Reformed people. Why reformed people? If I ask a man, why you become reformed? Usually they answer, because this book, because that professor. I said, these are all wrong answers. The only right answer, because God predestined I'm to become reformed. And that is the sovereignty of God be lifted up. We all become reformed because God's grace upon us. Amen. And there's no one can be the child of God or to understand right theology except Holy Spirit grant the grace to us. And reformed people has shown our faithfulness and our accuracy to understand the Bible in the past 500 years. We had gone through all kind of battles, all kind of difficulties, and remain standing to be faithful to the Lord. And this should be our principle of doing theology, of living as Christian, and to be a believer, faithful to the Lord. If reformed people are no more faithful to the Lord, the world has no hope. Because the only historical movement to declare faithful to the Word of God, to the sovereignty of God, and to His guidance is reform movement. If we compromise that no one can direct this word, reform pulpit should be the conscience of the society. Reform ethics should be the example of the society. And reform direction should direct all world in His culture mandate to submit the whole world beneath the sovereignty of God. God, give us vision and give us mission and grant us calling. What is the meaning of the vision? Vision is not what we see. Vision is the sharing of God's eternal planning to His chosen people and give them the power to see clearly what God had planned even before the foundation of the world. So when we see clearly the guidance of God, we see clearly the planning of God for history, especially in our time, so we can react to the Lord. Then after we listen to the voice of God, we see the vision of God, then we get the mission. Mission is after vision, and mission is given from the God who is promising us to do something. And any promise from God contains the commandment from God. There's no promise without commandment. There's no commandment without promise. And that is the reason, if God give us the vision and give us the mission, He is always with us. So we must not be afraid of all difficulties, obstacles, persecution, and killings. I am now doing reform work, doing my job to obey the guidance of the Holy Spirit in the biggest Muslim country in the world. And we are building one of the biggest reformed church in the world there. We are doing mission impossible without afraid. Negative speaking, the only thing we have to fear is the fear itself. Positively speaking, the only one we have to fear is God and His past punishment upon those who are not obeying Him. That is the reason we live on this world, by the vision, the mission, and we listen to the calling. The calling is so personal, the calling is so real, that there was not even one prophet do the work of God without clear of the calling. And after God calls us, What is our part? To react submissively to him. Man is not what he thinks. Man is not what he behaves. Man is not what he feels. Man is what he acts. Man is what he reacts before God. And this is Reformed theology. When you react to God, respond to God's calling, that we can be in accord with the track and with the planning of God, and it will result something forever and ever, never be abolished. Praise God. Only people who listen to the calling of God and obey in their whole life can keep their work remain forever and ever. Any theology derived from the contemporary issues cannot last forever. Only those who derive the eternal word of God will remain forever and ever. And that is the reason we reformed people should do what God wants us to do, and should write, should think, should debate, should do apologetics according to the principle of the Bible. In terms of history, human beings can only be divided into three sorts or three kinds. The first is the inheritance of the history. The second is the analyzer of the history. And third time is the transformer and the changer of the direction of history. And reformed people should be on this track, because we know the history has one master and only one master. This master is God the Creator, the Redeemer, and the Revealer himself. God is the master of history, so we are witnessing what history is doing to rebel to the Lord, and what the Lord is keeping his people to be faithful to him until the eschatos, the final goal, final point of the day of consummation. Hegel once said, history teaches human being the greatest teaching, and that teaching is human being do not want to receive the teachings of history. History itself is the teacher, and by history we know how we felt, how we denied, how we rebelled to God, and how God is so tolerant and so patient to wait our coming back as a prodigal reasoning, prodigal will, and prodigal emotion to return to be faithful again to the Lord. And what is faith? Faith is the return of the prodigal reasoning to the truth, the prodigal emotion to the holy love of God, and the prodigal will to the planning of God. Reformed people should guide the whole world by presenting our life holy and say to the Lord, I am here, I obey you, I follow you, and I be faithful to your calling. Now, we are in the crossroad of human culture. We are facing the most dangerous days since the world, heaven and earth have been created by the Lord. Since the day of the Renaissance, man supposed that human reason is the only means to know the truth. And this world is the final goal of our living, and also the Greek Roman achievement have been our model of success, and our own power is bigger than God's power. God had been marginalized at that time, and afterward comes the Reformation. Reformation is in between Renaissance and Aufklärung, and that is something like a sandwich, and in the middle is the only historical movement who is qualified enough to get the whole humankind go through all ages and become the witness of God. In terms of this, we should understand only Reformed tradition is so faithful, so accurate, so brave, so courageous to fight against all kinds of ideologies which against our Father, our Son, and our Spirit, our Triune God. When I was 17 years, I tried to get away from Christianity. I received evolutionism, atheism, dialectical materialism, and atheism. So I tried to come out from the church and tried to be rebellious to the Lord. At that time, my heart was so uneasy And until one night, I tried to be skeptic toward the skepticism, to be agnostic toward agnosticism. And I prayed to the unknown God. Are you God? Are you the true God? If you are true God, tell me all the answers. And afterward, I will tell people of that answer. And I am willing to go everywhere in the world to proclaim your truth. Finally, God answered, and God gave me all the answers of my skepticism, my agnosticism, and bring me back to his own throne. And since that time, I cry, I dedicate my life and say, the Lord, I'm yours forever and ever. Give me the power, give me the strength, give me the courage, give me the will of the Spirit and the guidance of your path so that I can be faithful until the end of my life. 1977, I went to Athens. I tried to find out where is Areopagus. At that time, I found the Areopagus on the spot I supposed to be the place where Paul stood and preached there. And I prayed, bowed down my head, and tried to dedicate my life once again to the Lord. When I opened my eyes, after I say Amen, and I see Acropolis was up there, about 300 meters away from where I stood. And the streets of Athens was beneath my left side. At the same time, I realized God had used Paul to stood up, to stand up at the place in between the religion and philosophy, and to lift up the crucified Christ and his resurrected power to be the one only judge to judge over the whole world. From that time on, I tried to make use all the knowledge of religion and philosophy and to put them in front of the sovereignty of God to be judged by the cross. And I know what is said by Paul, only Jesus and he crucified. This is the only message which is above all messages that the world needs. All philosophers and all religious founders cannot be compared with what we are preaching, because this is the qualitative difference between the finality of Christ in compared with other religion and other cultural and philosophy system. Qualitative difference is not quantitative difference. Quantitative difference is not qualitative difference. There should be the difference between the qualitative difference and quantitative difference. And the difference between the qualitative difference and quantitative difference is itself a qualitative difference. Jesus Christ is the only supreme God who, from the absolute, absolute world, come into the relative world. An absolute, absolute is the only absolute. Otherwise, all absolute are absolutized non-absolute. And Christianity is to proclaim the absolute, absolute truth to this, the absolutized non-absolute truth. Try to challenge them. We should not accept all the challenges alone. We should be challenging. Back 24 years ago, I stood in the pulpit of your chapel, Westminster Theological Seminary, and I told one thing. Reformed people should not presuppose we are gifted in apologetics only. We should change our attitude of being passive and becomes active. We should be the challenger of the world. We must not only become being challenged by the world. And we are not telling people why I believe. We should tell people why you don't believe. If the truth is like this, if Jesus Christ is the only way, why you still stand away from the Lord? You still oppose and rebel to him. But how can we present the absolute absolute in this, the non-absolute world? Once Sir Herbert Spencer stood up in a conference in London and he said, I think there is nothing absolute in this world. And he said, no. Another young man stood up and said, Mr. Spencer, did you say there's nothing absolute in this world? Yes, I did say it. Do you believe it absolutely? He didn't answer until now. If a man believes there's nothing absolute, he is self-contradictory when he believes that absolute. That is the reason we should be proud. We should be courageous enough. We should stand again to fight against all this rebellious thinking which is produced from the polluted, created, and limited reason. Reform people should be rational, and we must not be rationalists. The end and the dead end of Greek philosophy in Plato is reasoning is higher than emotion, higher than will, and reasoning should guide people to be the philosopher. But never they give answers. We should submit our reasoning power under who? Only Christianity answers us that reasoning power itself is a created, is a limited, and is a polluted agency. That is the reason only Holy Spirit, who revealed the truth, and He Himself, He's the truth, is able to guide human reasoning to go on all kinds of the wrong ideology. Since the day of our clearing, people think we human beings have come of age, but in the ideological century of 19th century, we see all century with all kind of ideology system had proven to be wrong in 70 years of the examination and of experiment in human philosophical and human society. Now is the time for reformed people to stand up, to fight again, and to claim the victory of the truth of God. Only God is truth. Where are we heading? We're heading the final victory with the courage and the power of God. I hope that theological students are not seeking for the degrees, but we are seeking for the power and for the countenance of God. Let His glory shine upon us and His Spirit guide us to fight for His truth until Jesus Christ come again. Amen.